Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Scratching for some gravy in the gravy pits with Davey. He's my gravy mate. We dig together every single day. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
Five sketch ideas.
I'm Mandy.
And I'm Alistair. George William T. Ray Omblay Biarchial.
Biarchial.
And I'm from the south, but the north of the south.
It's true. Everybody's north of something. Everybody's a northerner.
I was going to say, what about the North Pole? But that actually is true for the North Pole.
I think that's particularly true for the North Pole, I think. In many ways, you couldn't have chosen a worse example. If you were looking for something that wasn't north of anything, the North Pole, it's hard to think of a less good...
But now it almost seems impossible to think of a single example that could be...
People in space.
They're like not even any direction,
exactly,
are they?
Exactly right.
They're outside of that entire plane of existence.
Is there? I wonder if there's a concept such as space north, space west. How do they measure this shit when they're doing rocket launches and stuff? Maybe they just use left and right.
When they're just trying to go to like deep space.
What are they referring to?
They probably use starboard.
Starboard. Very good.
Yeah.
Is that in something? Is that from something?
No.
That's really good.
No. It was a genuine mistake.
That wasn't a star pun?
It wasn't a star pun. Wow. I was just trying to do a boat thing.
Wow. Alistair. It was really good.
Andy, I can't do good on purpose, really.
Starwood.
But, I mean, something inside me must have known. I mean, maybe. I gotta be able to take...
There might be a real fucking genius in there, Alistair. Like, really, like, hammering on the walls of the cell you've got them imprisoned in. And yelling through this tiny little grill. Occasionally, your consciousness hears a whisper, coming up through the pipes or... whatever it is that you've got going on.
Well, that was like I think they managed to like work a finger out through the through like the like you know like a hole in the prison wall.
Yeah, it sounds like they're pretty thin walls or very long fingers.
Very long fingers. A genius at having long fingers as well.
In the land of the thick-walled prisons, but with lots of holes in them, the long-fingered man is king. That's what they say.
Yes. Hang on. I just want to say the word Jumanji, but I want to say it in a really interesting way. Okay, I'm going to say it. 3, 2, 1.
Jumanji.
There you go. What do you think about that? Hang on. I just got to talk to somebody. Okay, would you be able to brush your teeth and go to sleep? Well, you can do a little bit of reading. Hang on. If you set the timer... for 30 minutes. Like I said, you can have 30 minutes of reading, but...
You can have 30 minutes of screen.
No, not of the screen.
What about
10 minutes? Oh, I'm on a podcast. I can't debate. So it's either bed or book. But go brush your teeth first, okay? Thank you. No. I'm sorry.
No.
That we're not going to edit that out.
There should be some sort of augmented reality thing that you can... What if your mirror, your bathroom mirror, was a big TV screen, right?
Yeah.
And it has cameras that look at your face, obviously. And then you open up your mouth, right? And that using augmented reality, it puts little monsters all around in your teeth, right? And you you've got a toothbrush, a Bluetooth enabled toothbrush, and you're scrubbing away, you're trying to get the little monsters, and they keep jumping around to different teeth and into different crevices and that sort of thing. And then, you know, before you know it, you've worn your gums away because of your gaming, your toothbrushing addiction. Alistair, this is a genuinely good idea, and I worry that you're not there anymore.
Oh, and there's a hole. Well, you did distort for a second.
Okay.
And so I did have a moment, but I do think that a generation of children who are essentially, they just have nubs of gums.
Mm.
There's just like the roots of the gums still just holding and barely the... Like none of the downward arches are there anymore.
Oh.
And it's just these kids are so they're so...
They were up late last night brushing their teeth. The parents are apologizing. The kid keeps falling asleep at their desk. They're bleeding gums, leaking onto the exercise books. They're like, he was up so late last night brushing. Oh, we don't know how to stop him. We try and take the brush away, but he screams at us.
And I think that would also lead to people in the sort of the health world, you know, not medicine people, but the sort of the hippie types, who would be like, well, they would go off brushing altogether,
because
they'd be like, no, now that's associated with the tech world and control.
But I'm sure there are some people.
And I always thought that brushing was bad.
Yeah, I always said it. So, Alistair, there must be people who do that already. There must be people who are like the don't wash your hair people, who are like, don't brush your teeth, don't wipe your ass.
I've heard of don't wipe your ass people.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I've heard of people who have dated guys who don't wipe their ass, and that seems...
But
I mean,
is
that
because
like the
they're
worst
just
possible
like,
thing?
Is that a philosophy, or are they just fucked?
I mean, I think that they're fucked, but I mean, but they had a girlfriend. So I mean, how is that possible? That seems crazy. Yeah, but it was just like they would only deal with it in the shower, which seemed awful.
Oh my god, that's way worse.
Yeah, because it feels like then once you're dealing with it, it's kind of changed state.
Alistair, I know that you don't like guys who are people who say fungi, fungus scientists who say fungi, right? How would you feel if you went to a proctologist and you found that they kept pronouncing butthole? Not that I think that proctologists probably use the word butthole, but they pronounce.
But they would pronounce it butthole
or butthole. Yeah, butthole. No, butthole is. I think butthole is cleaner if you wipe.
Or boothole. How were you saying it?
Butthole.
Boothole.
Butthole. Like the first T is hard, but the second T runs into the H. So the second T is part of a th.
I apologize. There's just someone here. I have to just take this.
That's okay.
No.
Okay. It's one of our podcast guests.
Yes, it's one of our child of the show.
Spawn of the show.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that? The proctologist who pronounces it butthole or buthole.
I love it.
Yeah, right.
I am going to need to leave you to do this for a moment, and I will
be
back.
I'm going to be so good at this. I love it. I love flying solo. That'd be a great movie that you could make. It's about a somebody's appearing as a guest on the on a podcast, but you know there are two hosts, the host and the co-host of the podcast. And there's somebody in there as a guest. They're not a podcaster. They don't have the skills that are required to run a podcast on their own. They're the like, you know, this is the Joe Rogan podcast. They're just a scientist or something, you know. They're a public intellectual, but they're not a podcaster. They can't begin to imagine how to control the recording equipment or even just the flow of the conversation. And yet both the host and the co-host of the podcast succumb to food poisoning and die slumped at their desks. Meanwhile, but the podcast is still recording. They've got to bring it in for the big conclusion. They've got to do the sponsor reads. They've got to do the plugs at the end all by themselves, right? And so I imagine a really experienced podcaster, somebody who really knows what they're doing, like a Marc Maron or something like that, is brought into podcast headquarters to call in and to guide this inexperienced podcast guest to bringing the podcast to its conclusion safely. And then when they do, and they finally hit stop on the recording, that, you know, people are gathered around, there's applause, so many things that go wrong, obviously. But it's called it's called Podcast the Movie. And
I think Podcast the Movie is a great idea. But
I'll very quickly summarise for you what the idea is, Alistair. It's a podcast with a host and a co-host, and they've got a guest, a non-podcasting guest, right? They've got a scientist or an intellectual or something on as the guest, but both the host and the co-host of the podcast succumb to food poisoning and die during the course of the podcast, right? And so the non-podcasting guest has to steer the podcast into a successful conclusion.
Do they have to... So it's not like they have to speak... They have to speak more than 50 words per minute
in order to,
or else the podcast explodes.
Oh, could be that. I mean, that's an exciting element. I imagine, I mean, this is a long movie. This is, you know, we're talking 2-3 hour film. That, you know, the podcast these days can be pretty long. So I imagine there's going to be all sorts of twists and turns. Maybe there is, somebody has planted a bomb on the podcast.
And the hosts have fainted.
I mean, we do a lot of crank riffs or versions of Speed. I think a version of Crank or of Speed, where it's a podcast that has to be where the riffs have to be at least at a certain level of quality, or the podcast will explode. It's a very good idea.
Speed rules.
Speed rules. Yes, I mean, or that should be its own genre. You know, like how a lot of video games for a long time, I don't know what they use now, but a lot of them were built on the Unreal Engine. They should keep making movies that are built on the Speed conceit, the Speed engine. They should just license it, and then everybody can do their own version. And you wouldn't say we're going to go see a movie anymore. Right, you'd say, "Oh, we're going to go and see a Speed. We're going to go see a Speed." And you go to the cinemas, there's always two or three of them on. And you just pick one. Which Speed are we going to see today?
Podcast there's no reason speed. Why noirs or westerns need to be a whole genre. Mm. You know, it's just people dressed as cowboys, and then it's a story, right? Same thing. It's only just people walking into a detective agency. All it is that you just go, oh, we've decided we're going to make a lot of movies like this.
Mm, absolutely. Right,
that was such a good idea. And so I think the Speed genre feels like a great idea, because then they're going to be like, and this one was really put a flip on the old Speed genre.
I mean,
you know, it's very subversive Speed film.
All of the Hollywood bigwigs, you know, with their big wigs, they're all obsessed with turning a film into a franchise. I think they're thinking too small. They should be turning films into genres.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know, because then if you had the Avengers genreverse,
you've got the genre rights.
Yeah, and then suddenly, every time a group of people get together to solve a problem. You get a little kickback.
That would be really good to get the genre rights to invent an entirely new genre, and then you license the genre. Is so good.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's out there inventing genres. They should.
Well, I mean, I think that I think to have the Speed genre, it's all that we really want to watch. Mm. I basically stopped watching movies after Speed. It was the Chris Nolan one with the spinning top, and now I'm back to trying to watch Speed again. But there's no more. They're not making any more.
Really good. Speed and on a bus.
You know what made me do, you know, like everyone's like, oh, I love Keanu Reeves.
Mm.
And I don't know, and this is actually not that unlikable, but it made me like him less. Is that they were like, somebody said like, what would be your perfect day or whatever? And you know, he's always like such a chill guy, and he's like, I don't know, like, you know, like ride my motorcycle, maybe like have sex 2-3 times and something like that. And I was like, that seems like too many times for me.
Oh, look, I like Keanu Reeves, but I just can't get on board with his number of times of sex in a day thing that he's always going on about. It's a real turd off. No, I agree. Yeah.
I don't know.
I completely agree.
Well, maybe it's because I'm picturing it being an everyday thing.
Mm.
And then I remember the process of trying to... This would not be the case for you, Andy, but the process of trying to get pregnant and how suddenly... it can start to really feel like a chore, you know, and how it just changes how you view. You're like, we're like, no, it's ovulation time. We've got to do this. And we're all like, all right, let's do this.
Come on, everybody. I think that's...
get it together. You're like slapping your face.
I don't know if that's been depicted in that way in film. I mean, I'm sure it has, but I think that's a very funny thing to explore. People who have to have sex. Troy. They have to have sex two to three times a day or they'll explode. That kind of... it's the... maybe that's why Keanu Reeves does it so much, likes to do it so much, is because somebody has put a bomb in his balls. And if he doesn't have sex a couple of times a day, he'll explode.
It's the perfect amount for him because it's the exact amount that he requires in order to not explode.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can...
I mean, that does sound perfect.
I don't know how you can be doing it and then just not be so sleepy afterwards that you can't get anything done.
That's, yeah, you know. I feel like that about having two beers.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I completely... I used to drink lots and lots of beers. I'm not saying I'm a cool legend or anything. I'm not trying to, like, you know, tell you guys how sick I am and how much fun I am to hang out with. But I've drunk, you know, sometimes 5-6 beers.
Hello.
In a row, you know. But,
wow.
But now, yeah, you're absolutely right. Two beers? I'm a sleepy guy.
Well, what happens is that if you stop at two... then you will crash. And so suddenly, if you begin, for me, this is what happens. If you begin, in order to not become immediately super sleepy, you have to continue.
I used to find that, you know, in the evening, I could have a couple of beers and be quite productive. Like, that it would actually help me to focus or something in writing.
I've never been able to focus with it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Really, it kind of like, it brings out my worst like traits of getting distracted and stuff like that. And
I think you've talked about, I believe it's pronounced Marijuana. Juana?
Juana.
You've talked about that, a little bit of that chemical helping you to focus.
Yes.
But I think I have in the past had that same thing with a beer and a half. Sort of like calms my brain down and I can actually just do one thing.
Well, that stuff is legal here.
Mm.
And there are state-owned things where you can go in and buy rolled up stuff.
Really? From the government?
In all formats. From the government. And I had one the other day.
Mm.
And I was like, Indiana, I'm going to have two inhalations.
Mm.
And I had two inhalations the day before, but I hadn't quite, I can't remember. Anyway, I decided to try three inhalations from a pre-rolled thing. I'm trying to speak in coded terms because there's somebody who's up.
Yes.
After three, I went, that may have just been a little bit too much. And then, but it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a moment. It wasn't like it was fine. It was just on the edge of being too much. But there was a moment in which I watched some Joe Pera.
Right? Yeah.
He's that very slow stand-up guy. And I was like, oh, he's one of the best. And then I got inspired and I started writing stuff. And I was completely unplugged from the like the needing to watch stuff online kind of thing that I get caught in almost every day. And I was just sitting and I was just writing and I was just laughing to myself. And I was like, and it was exactly like how I had started when I would do that with Mitch in the shed in Canberra, just like trying to write comics and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm there. I'm back. It had like, it was like they had taken that thing out of the back of my head, like from the Matrix.
Yeah. Wow.
And I was like, and I was like the algorithm lost its grip on me for a moment.
That's great. Did you reread any of your stuff, and was any of it good? And can you share any of it with us on this our comedy podcast? Because we've probably talked about drugs and taking drugs, drinking alcohol for too long now without actually saying anything funny.
Sure, sure, sure. But let's see. Look, I don't know if this is all good, but I don't think if I wrote things straight, it would be good necessarily. But here's something that was making me laugh a little bit. Hang on, wait. This is it's down further, but let's see. Okay, I wrote, I love a thin slice of cheese. I'd take a slice, an atom thick, if they could, if they could make supermarket, deli department meat slicers with that setting. And then, it says I just need a slice thick enough that I can experience flavor. That's the goal for me with cheese. I eat it for its taste, not for its nutritional value, right?
Yeah.
In many ways, I mean, nutritional value is like not even in my top 10 ways that I enjoy, I most enjoy cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So here, and here they are. Number one is taste. Oh, no, wait, it isn't. It's, no, I did put it second, but it's number two is nutritional value. But then I think for some reason, this was making me laugh, was thinking about listing my top 10 most the ways in which I enjoy. And then I went, I remember getting to three and being like, three. And that, and then I wrote how if you breathe any air that was under the plastic wrapper with the cheese when you first open it, the plastic, you know, you can smell the factory the cheese was packed in. You've heard all this before. Four I couldn't write down, but five I wrote is I like it for its diversity. Cheese. You know, I think that's good.
Yeah.
I like, and then eight was, I like how it tastes. And I went, oh, have I said that already? that was number one, you see. It makes lactose intolerant racist people shit themselves. You know?
Yeah.
Wait.
That's great.
I like to think about that stuff that they put, oh yeah, on shredded cheese, that powder stuff that stops it from sticking together, and how if that powder was a man who worked in a cheese factory, I would imagine if that was a real man, I bet someone on Twitter would like point out to them how the hypocrisy of how like they work with cheese, something they obviously love, but they spend their life trying to keep it apart, stop it from being with its own kind.
Yeah, these are the top 10 things you love. We're just reminding you, just reminding the listeners, these are the top 10 things Alistair likes about cheese.
Yeah.
Top 10 things about cheese that Alistair likes.
I think it's because it's very difficult to imagine that there's more than two things, and I can't even imagine. I don't think nutritional value really goes there.
But I think it's also, I find it very funny that you set up this bit of like, I don't think nutritional value would even be in the top 10. And then you're going through the list and you're like, well, number one, there's the taste, obviously. Number two, what, nutritional value? Oh, I was wrong. I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, no, that was silly.
Fuck, that surprised me. I did not think it would be that high. I was sure it would crack the top 10. But, you know, sometimes these things.
But I think in the if I was doing the real bit, maybe I'd put it and maybe 11. I'd say nutritional value.
But I don't know. I think it's very funny that it's at number 2. I think there's a kind of comedy there that I don't know if I've seen before, where you confidently set up a bit that you're going to do a list of something and something's not going to be in there. And then it turns out in your own list that you're making up on the spot that it's there. You're like, ah, fuck.
Oh, no,
I look like a real fool.
All right, well, it is. I'll still read the other end.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I think then you really... And then you know, you get down to like 7 or 8. You're like, I mean, honestly, this is the highest I thought nutritional value could possibly come in at. Or maybe you do it from 10... up, you go from 10 to 1, and you're like, fuck, nutritional value hasn't appeared yet. I'm really worried it's going to be number 1. You get to number 2.
Oh,
taste,
my God, where did I put this?
Taste is number 2. You're like, taste is number 2 on this list? What could possibly be number 1?
I tell you what, if it's nutritional value, I'm out of here. And I mean permanently.
I'm going to kill myself. You open the envelope. You open the envelope.
I wrote.
Yes, you open. If for some reason, number 1 is in an envelope. You open the envelope. You look at the envelope. You close the... You put the piece of paper back in the envelope. You seal it back up again. You say, excuse me.
I read the envelope and I say, Moonlight.
Oh, and then you're like, oh, no. Oh. No, you say La La Land, you read it wrong,
La La
and then
Land.
You're like, oh no. And then you're actually, it actually is nutritional value. That's funny.
So it was actually La La Land that was read out incorrectly?
La La Land was read out incorrectly. I don't know how. I'm sure if I read some articles I could find out what was actually happening there. But that's one where it's like, did you momentarily slip into a parallel dimension?
I think it's just that thing where it's like, if you have somebody, like from my knowledge of people that are over 50, you can just make really basic mistakes. Like, it's just like one of those things where you're like, wait, how did you change that? Like, how did you change your iPad setting to be like Mandarin or something like
that's
that?
That's true. My parents have linked up their phones in some way where when dad texts you, it says it's from mum. And when mum texts you, it says it's from dad. And so you'll get a text from mum and you'll write back and you'll say, okay, thanks, mum. And then you'll get another text from mum saying, this is dad, actually. And I'm like, well, how was I supposed to know? They keep correcting me. They're the ones who've somehow done this thing.
Could you just change
the
names?
They seem quite annoyed when I get their... No, but well, the phone calls still come through from the right people. It's just the text messages. And it's not all the time as well. Sometimes... It's only sometimes.
I mean, that's... I think if we're going to find... If we're going to find, like, how to get into the back end of the universe, you know, like, how to, like, travel through space at faster than speed of light speed, we're going to have to, like, give some people who don't know how to use, like, the Large Hadron Collider access to it to just push a lot of buttons.
That's a great sketch. We've put a couple of boomers in charge of the Large Hadron Collider. For 6 weeks, just to see what happens. 2 weeks in, they've already opened up a portal to the past. Like, they don't know how they did it. They don't know how they did it. They somehow set everyone in the world to French. They don't know how, but they've set all languages in the world to French. Now everybody's speaking French for some reason.
So they can.
They can't change it back now because they don't speak French. Well, they can't read it, but everyone speaks it. I don't know. Haven't worked it out. Alistair, that'd be quite funny if everyone started speaking French all of a sudden, but nobody knew French. We're all speaking it. We try and communicate, but nobody can understand it, what everybody's saying.
I think that would be really good. One second, my child needs to ask me something. Mm.
good night.
Oh, you're saying good night?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I love you. Thank you for not making the, like.
Please stay up.
No, you can't stay up. But if you end up in bed with me and Huxley later, then that's completely fine. No, darling. But thank you very much. I appreciate you helping me out. Hey, you can stay up a millisecond more.
That's a really good kid. Hey. That's a really good kid.
What about not even a millisecond?
Well, no. Just you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You gotta go to bed now. Is that cool? Do you want to make a sound and then do you want to make a sound and see it come up on
the?
Do you want to sign off your name?
Oh, Tess the Great.
All right, that was Otis the Great, everybody.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Bye, Otis.
Okay. Otis is watching their waveform on the thing change.
Okay.
Have a good sleep.
Bye.
My second youngest child,
yes,
Remy, went and recorded a podcast with one of their friends at the studio yesterday. They've been planning it for a very long time. It's called the Best Friends Podcast. And they actually went along and did it. And Alistair, I will send you some photos of them recording it because it's incredibly adorable. They look so cute.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to it. I haven't received the audio file yet, but I'm very excited to hear. I wasn't.
What studio did they do it at?
At the stupid old studios podcasting studio.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's really good. I'll send you the photos.
I just
want to give a quick shout out as well, Alistair, to your bit in there about making lactose intolerant racists shit themselves, because that is also a joke and a type of comedy I can't immediately say that I've heard before, and I think that's really unique and interesting angle on that thing.
Yeah, the only problem with writing is because I was writing so many different things at the same time. Like I have like sort of 7 pages of like sort of pencil written stuff. And then also while I was writing, I would forget what I was writing about. Mm. And like, I would forget the very sentence I was writing. Mm. And then I'd go, what was it? Like, as I remember trying to write that bit about the, if that powder that keeps the strands of cheese apart, I remember having to try to write that about 7 times.
Well,
what was I trying to write?
Listening to it back, I really got a sense of that. I really felt like this is coming from a guy who is losing his grip on what this is supposed to be as it's happening.
Yeah, it's also not completely written out still, so I had to like partially recreate what I think it was.
Fill in the gaps. But there's more to be had from a lactose intolerant racist as well.
Well, you know what? I think you're right.
I mean, it would be good if all people who are intolerant, and by that I mean racists, if they the symptoms of their intolerance, instead of horrifying racist abuse, exclusion, and violence, if it was the same symptoms as lactose intolerant, where they get bloated and shit themselves. I think
they were actually intolerant in that way. Yeah. So then they would in many ways be victims of their own biology.
But I don't think it is their biology. I think they are still genuinely, they're hateful, intolerant people. But the I mean, yours might work as well, Alistair. I'm sorry, I'm dismissing it.
No, I'm not trying to change your idea. I'm just trying to We're just searching.
We're searching. You've picked up a lump of what could be gold. I've said, no, I'm not even going to look at that. And I've knocked it back into the deep waters of the river we're standing beside.
Yeah.
And I've held up my own rock and say, I think this could be gold.
I agree. I mean, you don't want to look at other people's gold out of fear that it's fool's gold.
Exactly. And then what?
That's the problem with a lot of comedy.
Secondhand.
No, because that's the problem with a lot of comedy is that when you write it, you sometimes go, "This is gold," and then you say it out loud in front of an audience, and then you find out that it was fool's gold. You know, you go, "I was fooled. My brain looked at this gold.
This was actually iron pyrite."
Iron pyrite. Still pretty cool, if you ask me, iron pyrite.
That'd be a good name for a pie shop where you cook all of the pies in cast iron pans. Iron pyrite.
Oh, on irons. Oh, yeah, iron pyrite.
Or on an iron. I wonder if anybody in a pinch has ever cooked bacon on an upturned steam iron.
There was a UK comedian who would do shows because of like at the Edinburgh Fringe, where he would talk about, like, it would basically was a cooking show that he would do based on skills that he developed learning how to cook really nice meals in hotel rooms.
Okay.
And so he would, like, cook noodles in the kettle. Yeah, he would, like, use the iron as, like, a hot plate.
It sounds like this has been well and truly explored.
But the problem with bacon, though, would be that there's those holes.
Down into the holes. I mean, what an amazingly vile and horrible thing it would be to go to hotels, empty the water out of the steam kettle, and replace it with cooking oil. Replace it with bacon grease. Maybe we could use that as a sort of a campaign of civil disobedience to, I don't know what it would involve, what we're trying to achieve. Maybe, you know, more action on climate change. But we find out where the next COP27 or whatever meeting's going to be, what hotel they're going to be staying in. We go in there and we, over a period of months, book out every room. And as we do so, we sneak in and fill up the irons with oil, so that when they appear, the delegates appear on camera, they've all got huge, oily, greasy stains all over, and it's very symbolic, of course, of the grip that big oil has on these.
That's right.
Which it must be hard for big oil to grip things, because by its very nature, it's very slippery, and gripping becomes...
That's right. Big oil's grip is slipping, which you'd think would have happened a long
happened
time ago.
Happened all the time.
I mean, he's big oil.
Big oil.
Big oil.
A big oil's blouse.
Should I write this down? Greasing.
Yes, right, you should. We're also interested in keeping track of civil disobedience
types
actions,
of protest.
Types of forms of protest. Yes. Alistair, I feel confident in saying we've probably got 5 sketch ideas written down on your piece of paper. And we could go
eight things. So we're going to go to 3 words from my listener. The listeners don't know, but this is a re-record of a lost episode.
That's true.
A lost episode that we only have...
Alistair's
my
half of. We should release it like people who do those green screen challenges. We'll publish just your isolated vocal track, Alistair. Mm-hmm. Your haunting isolated vocal track. And people, those green screen whizzes out there, they can green screen in their own comments in place of my comments. And we'll see what different versions, what hilarious... scenarios they can put your vocal stylings into.
I may need to go for a second, so I'm going to give you 3 words, Andy. Mm. Oh my gosh. You got to guess the 3 words first.
You go away. I'll try and guess them while you're gone. And then
okay.
I'll tell you.
All right, talk. And I'll be back. Okay, apologies. Okay.
This is interesting because usually when I'm guessing the words, I try and guess them based on the previous word, right? And also I have Alistair, who's always very helpful and supportive in these kinds of things, and there to encourage me and tell me if I'm on the right track and how I'm going, because he's so kind about this section of the podcast. But let's just see if I can just do it maybe that's a crutch that I don't need. Maybe that was holding me back. And if I can just, like, you know, like Luke Skywalker, when he can hit the drone when he's blindfolded, okay, maybe I'll actually have a better chance of getting the three words right if I don't have any feedback. So I'm closing my eyes here right now. And let's see. The first word is paradiddle. The second word is peony. And the third word is parasite. Paradiddle, peony, parasite. Wow. I feel like I'm really in, you know, I've broken through some sort of barrier and I'm now floating in space all by myself. Maybe the world has come to an end and it's just me and my voice. And now just those three words and that's all I have. So paradiddle, peony, parasite. So paradiddle, I don't even really know what that is. It's a terrible word for me to choose. It's something to do with music. It's probably a sound or like a sequence of sounds that you make on a musical instrument. Maybe a guitar or a lute, probably. Peony, I think, is a type of little, maybe a little blue flower, little flower of some kind. And parasite, obviously, we all know what a parasite is. So let's see, what if there was a, you know how, the gunk builds up, that liquid builds up in the, trumpets of, trumpet players.
Overrides.
The trumpet of the trumpet player. Maybe that liquid could become almost like the ambergris of gardeners or something like that. And they actually, they highly value that, collected saliva of the trumpet players, and they, you know, they travel around from jazz club to jazz club draining the spit valve of these brass instruments, collecting it in a big vat and then taking it back to put onto their flowers to, I guess, grow you know, prize winning azaleas. And then there's a parasite for some reason. Alistair, go on.
What would be the key words I would write down for that idea?
A spit valve fertilizer. You could write that.
Spit valve fertilizer. Okay, and Ian, what three words did you come up with?
I came up with were paradiddle, peony, parasite. Oh, please,
you know, crossed. One of the words is so close.
Oh my god!
Because it's beef. Well, I mean, it's bacteria-fed beef.
Bacteria-fed beef. Bacteria.
No.
Fed
and do you want to try to guess the listener?
Yannick Rausch.
Oh, great attempt. It's close, I think. It's Jared Schaefer.
I feel like every time I try and guess the listener, I probably guess, right, Yannick Rausch. But
yeah.
Jared Schaefer?
Yeah.
Jared Schaefer. Wow, yeah, Jared, yeah. You really sound like you could be a film editor or a... Jared Schaefer or... maybe more of a film producer,
high-flying,
maybe?
Some... Yeah, high-flying producer, possibly.
Could be a high-flying producer. That's great, Jared.
Producer type, even.
Mm.
Bacteria-fed beef, Andy.
No, Jared Schaefer. Jared Schaefer is probably a cinematographer.
Yeah.
That's my feeling.
I mean, he could be a guy who sleds in a business suit.
The business toboggan.
The business toboggan. There is a hill somewhere in New Brunswick, I think, that's called like Magnetic Hill.
Mm.
Because it cars look like they're going uphill. When they go uphill, they pick up speed, and when they're going downhill,
they slow down.
They slow down, and it takes a lot of effort. That's, and I think it's probably a visual
illusion,
a visual illusion of some sort. But you know, imagine that. But it's bacteria being fed to beef.
Bacteria-fed beef. Yeah, now, is it the bacteria that is fed the beef or the beef that is fed the bacteria? Mm. I think there's an inherent ambiguity in that sentence. It's very intriguing.
I mean, it's interesting to think about, you know, like, you know, sometimes you get, if you get pus.
Oh, yes.
You know, from some infection.
Oh, yes.
That is due to the bacteria either dying or eating something and then it's pooping out pus.
I think it's the white blood cells that are eating the bacteria and creating the pus. Yeah.
So they're creating the pus? Like that's them pooping out the pus?
Or I think that's them dying as they consume the bacteria, I think. But
so they gorge themselves. It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet of bacteria.
A pus buffet, yes, indeed.
So it's like it's like a sewer of death. You just get like a little like
it's like an oil. It's a killing field of pus.
But I was wondering, is there something that you could feed the white blood cells that would make that pus delicious?
Wow.
You know what I mean? Could you infect your body with something? You know, with something that made the pus delicious.
Oh, God.
You know, let's say it was just in your knee, for example.
Yeah.
And you just injected, like, you know, like you, maybe like you, you've like, you know, I guess kind of like you would put a, you know, you'd put a human ear on the back of a mouse, but you'd find like a virus and you would maybe put like a piece of garlic to the back of it. You'd grow a bit of garlic on the back of it. Some garlic cells.
Yeah.
And then, then you inject it into your knee, and then the white blood cells would be like, ah, there's a evil, evil virus there.
All the imagery, everything associated with this is the most horrific stuff I can imagine. And I, like, I can feel the nausea rising in the mouths of the
Are you picturing somebody trying to use a syringe to suck out the pus from your knee, and that person is wearing a little chef hat?
Well, I mean, what I'm actually picturing, and that could well be good, Alistair, but what I'm picturing is that it is the chef themselves, and their body has various infections all over it in different areas with different bacteria producing different flavors. And I think the chef probably lies naked on the table in front of you, and you sort of lick their wounds, their weeping wounds.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Sample the something from the groin, sir.
I guess it's sort of like a more like Western version of that eating sushi off of a naked body kind of thing.
There you go, exactly.
It's a bit more rugged.
Come on, Heston. Come on,
You
coward. Heston Blumenthal, you know, like, I'm calling you out.
You know, like you see bacteria swimming pretty well in, you know, on one of those, like, you know, when you're looking under on a microscope in a thin film of water.
Mm.
Well, we're about to get more climate change, right? So the water is going to rise, and we might for a while just have a thin film of water over, you know, land.
Mm.
And so if we were to grow bacteria, we could ride on them like a magic carpet. And
an algal
use that
mat.
As you know.
Yeah.
Mm. I know, but it's just like one big one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I love that idea.
Yeah.
A bacteria of burden.
I can show you the swamp.
Glistening, shimmering, fetid.
Fetter? Does that mean fetid. Like festy?
Yeah, basically F-E-T-I-D, fetid.
That's good. Oh, F-E-T-T-A-E-D?
Yes, Alistair.
Fetid.
Is that how's that spelled?
Like, as in turned into Greek cheese?
Yeah. But when you said it, I was like, fuck, it is one of those words where it could be like it's O-E, A-E sort of shit going on in there. Like maybe fetid is spelled F-O-E-T-A-E-D or something. And I was like, nah, I'm out of my depth.
Which you also would be riding on one of these large bacteria. Exactly. But we've had large bacteria ideas before, haven't we?
We have. But this is the first one you can ride.
Yeah. Ocean ride bacteria.
Bacteriosa. I wonder what the...
I mean, do you think we've nailed this? I don't feel like we have.
I wonder what the nerve endings and stuff are in the stomach that detect bacteria and that make you nauseous and vomit. What is the sense situation going on inside? There must... Because we talk about there being five or six senses or whatever, five senses.
Yeah.
But there must be some inside that are just like... That are just somehow you're sensing this bacterial growth that's like taking over your digestive tract.
Yeah. There's got to be a decision that's being made in there that's going, all right, not too much of this.
Mm. I wonder if there would be
a way... We're sending it back.
...to communicate, almost using like a sort of a Morse code, right, of bacterial infections. And nausea. Maybe you could communicate secretly to a prisoner, one of your spies who's been captured. You could communicate a message to them by placing bacteria into their meals, you know, sort of on off, or like long short bout of diarrhea that would allow you to
over days.
Yes, over many days, communicate a Morse code signal. To them.
Where like, you know, one's a diarrhea and then the next day's a vomiting.
Yeah.
You know? And then you use a sort of a diarrhea vom binary, which they will now scratch into the walls.
They don't realize for a while, but then suddenly they cotton on to this. They pick up on it. They're like, wait a second, I had a short bout, then a long bout, then I was vomiting. That's Morse code.
I mean, I think that you could maybe even, you could, I was trying to think of how you could communicate it through having like different types of bacteria under your nails, and then you bite the one that you're trying to communicate, but I guess you would have to get somebody else to bite it.
Yeah, or they'd have to be down at the end of the sewer that comes out of the... prison cell.
But imagine that every time you walk past, you just stick your finger in the little window of there. It's like in a little cage window. Like that. And then they see that and then they suck your finger really quick. And so they know that there's like a type of communication.
Feels like once you're getting that close to them and you're actually getting your finger into their mouth, maybe the diarrhea element could be bypassed somehow, but maybe not.
Or do you think you could just go, no, Michael won't be coming tonight?
Yeah, maybe.
Kind of thing, if that's what the message you were trying to get. Michael's got diarrhea.
All right, Alistair. Take us through the sketch ideas quickly.
Think we did it?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Wait long, short, wait, this one was a bit of a mess, wasn't it, with all my interruptions and stuff,
but
I apologize,
think it was good,
everybody.
And that one where you left early and I had to do it on my own for a little bit, felt like it energized me a bit, made me lift my game, try a bit harder. I wasn't going to just like...
Made me lift my game,
carry me, Alistair.
Yeah, sorry, my beloved has gone away for a week, and anyway, here we go. We got the genius inside. That's the one where we find out that there actually is a genius inside us, and we're actually stopping him from coming out, but occasionally, through accidents, they can, through moments where we're not paying attention, somehow they can get us to accidentally say something good. Like moments where we've let go of the grip of our own consciousness momentarily. So we just said to our brain, just send me something random. And that's the opening through which that they can poke their finger.
Yeah, we think it's random, we've got the actually, yeah.
Yeah. The over-brushing the teeth video game.
Mm-hmm.
That leads to kids losing all their gums except for the... Well, you know, maybe some of them will lose everything. But do you think if all the gum is gone that there's just nothing holding on to the tooth?
Yeah, I think the tooth goes into the jawbone.
Okay.
So you'd be down to the jawbone, I think.
Okay. Well, then, so it's just still, it could still function pretty good.
So it's fine.
Then.
It's probably fine.
Yeah. It might just be a bit wobbly, do you think?
Yeah, maybe.
But you just eat carefully. then we got the booth hole, the booth hole proctologist. Then we've got podcast the movie. It possibly follows speed rules or crank rules.
Mm.
We've got new genres. This is the studios figure out how they can make more money by creating new genres. For example, the speed genre, or the Avengers genre. And the anytime a group of people come together,
yes,
you have now entered the genre verse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then we've got the trying to procreate sex and how laborious it can feel.
What about this? Instead of gender reveals, you have genre reveals. So you see Christopher Nolan has got a whole lot of balloons down by the beach, and he's going to reveal what the genre of his next film is. Oh, the balloons burst open. They're full of a thick black liquid. Oh, it's going to be a noir film.
Or a horror, I suppose. Horror could be maybe horror would be blood.
Oh, blood, of course. Genre of it. It's a horror. That's good, Dale.
It's a horror. I guess we need the films to all have a colour, don't you?
Then? So yeah, it's pretty hard.
I guess if a ghostly spirit emerges.
Mm.
Then we have... Trying to procreate. Oh yeah, we've done that. We put boomers in the Large Hadron Collider computer room, so that they can accidentally discover something impossible.
Mm-hmm.
We've got greasing up the irons. Hotels.
Yes.
As a oil protest at the COP30 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Then we've got the spit valve fertilizer. Then we have the bacteria chef flavored pus. And we've got ocean ride bacteria. And we've got the long, short bout of diarrhea communication.
Love it.
Andy, I think that was maybe the perfect episode. I apologize for apologizing earlier. We did it.
We did great. Okay.
Should we go into the song?
I'm just
going to
delete the episode now. All right, here we go.
Andy deleted the last episode.
Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. By the way, my
Think Tank
other sons, the twins, they've got obsessed with doing podcasts. But I think from listening to us do this, they think every podcast has to begin with them making up a little song. So Arlo was writing down a plan for the podcast that they want to do last night. And he started by writing Binky Bonk Bonk Bank Bonk 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 Bank or something like that. And it was... We've really set them up to fail.
Well, I don't know. You know, maybe it'll be great, Andy. Mm-hmm. I think that some of our songs can be pretty acceptable.
All right, Alistair, do you want to plug anything? Oh, I should have mentioned at the start that I'm on a recent episode of The Gargle, Alice Fraser's non-political news comedy podcast. Had a very good
and
time.
We both appear on Do Go On's quiz show.
Oh, yes.
That is starting to appear on
Stupid Old
YouTube
Channel.
On Stupid Old Channel.
Yeah, that was very fun as well. I really humiliate myself, I think it's fair to say, by doing extremely badly. Come in with quite a bit of swagger, a lot of people talking about me being very smart, which I love. And then I proceed to eat shit in such a comprehensive fashion. so, you know, that might have some enjoyability for people.
Yeah. I feel like maybe I've appeared on something else, but I can't remember right now. So anyway, that'll do. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. You've been so wonderful. We appreciate you.
And we love you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.